All right. Praise the Lord. Good to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, maybe I forgot to turn on the mains. Okay. Yeah, just in time for the rain, too. That's pretty good. Welcome those of us that are online also. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Revelation song with Holy, Holy, Holy.
Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Give He's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do we pick a hymn? Or okay. Anybody got a pick a hymn this evening? Yeah, 536. Well, let me see 536. Yeah. Have faith in God. 536.
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust his word, and be patient. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there, and leave them there. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God through all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for his own. He cannot fail, though the kingdom shall perish. He rules, he reigns, he upon his throne. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
I need some water. Praise the Lord.
All right, all right. Outstanding. Good to see everybody tonight. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us online, folks. Got a few folks that decided to stay in because of the rain. Praise the Lord for the rain. Amen? Well, that's a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Doesn't look like it's going to be a drought buster out there, but we'll take every eighth of an inch, tenth of an inch, hundredth of an inch we can get. Amen? All right, very good. A few announcements for you tonight. We've got our members meeting after the AM service on the 14th. Let's see here. We've got our Christian school starting on the 15th, Monday the 15th. Tomball school start Tuesday the 16th. And Awana's starts August the 24th. Is that correct? All right. Very good. Very good. So those are your announcements. And then, do we have any praises or testimonies? Oh, wow, Fred and Ann. How many years? All right, Fred and Ann. Anniversary. All right, Fred and Ann, happy anniversary.
Fred and Brand had an anniversary today.
Fred and Ann had an anniversary today. All right, any other praises? Anything else?
Always. Just want to thank God that my daughter made it. She moved from Longview back to Houston, so she's staying with me now.
All right.
And so she made it safe and sound, and all her stuff got to my house and to the storage unit, and all that's done. Hallelujah.
All that's done. Hallelujah. Amen.
And thankful for my son, and he recently got a really good job, and just thank God for that.
All right. Where are you working?
Plumbing.
You're going to do plumbing work? Amen. Like a journeyman program?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Go, go, go. That's good work.
We always need another plumber here.
Amen. Yeah. I've got a water leak if you want to come try. Yeah, yes, sir. You got a praise?
Yeah, Sharon Heibarger. Praise God for the rain in Tomball and at my house coming down hard and ditches are full.
All right. Is she on her way here?
No.
She comes into Tomball to go to the therapy.
Oh, okay. And then back. Okay. Yeah, praise the Lord for the rain.
We haven't gotten
Well, maybe by the time you get there, there'll be rain.
Yeah, it'll be over.
All right. Praise the Lord for the rain. Praise the Lord for the move. Praise the Lord for the job. All right. Outstanding. What else? Anything else? Any other praises?
Praise God for the start of the new school year for New Hope
new
Christian School.
New school.
I believe we have 55 students.
That's great.
Teachers are excited to get started.
Oh, my pen just broke. Hold on now. I have to go to the pencil route.
Hey, there you go.
All right. Oh, all right. New school year. Yes, sir. Very good. Those are good praises. Anything else? All right. Prayer requests. Yes, sir, in the back.
Lori said, please pray for Glenn, her boss.
Okay, Glenn.
Having trouble finding a house.
All right. Finding a house. All right, very good. What else?
I got two.
Okay.
One is for my granddaughter, Kenzie. She is going to a pain management doctor. And her daughter, Molly, is my great-granddaughter. She has sclerosis. I think that's how you pronounce it, of the spine.
Yes.
And she's going to start having to go into therapy for that. And then for Karen Tate, for her problem with her spine again.
Oh, okay.
I had lunch with her yesterday.
How's Karen doing?
Sharon's doing very well.
Karen?
She needs some help.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Karen Tate back. And then Kenzie, pain management. All right. Molly, sclerosis. Sclerosis. I think that's how you say that. Yeah. Of the spine. Yeah. All right. What else?
Robert's having a surgery, a shoulder surgery coming up on the 6th, September 6th. He just went to his appointment today. And so pray God would just work all that out and he can get healed of that. Also, he had a little accident at work a few days ago. A shell fell on his tooth, on his mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
A big shelf, and it broke his tooth.
Oh.
Yeah, so now they're going to have to go to the Hobby Lobby route to get all that taken care of. So anyway, that God will just work out all those details for Robert. God's doing something.
Amen. Amen. All right, any other prayer requests?
Pray for a friend of mine going through problems with her son. And she told me, you know, she believes, keeps praying for the prodigal son to come back. And she said she had a dream that told her that the father never went to the pig pen and handed him food over the fence. And I said, correct. Right?
So that's a good word, man.
So just pray for her son to come back to the Lord. And then pray as Hannah's changing her job and that she will like her new job at HEB.
All right. Well, that's a good company to get with, man. Yeah, it's a good company to build some tenure with. HEB, man. All right. And a new job, HEB. Anybody else? Bobby, you got one last one there?
Yes, sir. We need to pray for Terry as she gets ready to go to Ukraine.
Terry going to Ukraine.
We need to continually keep her in our prayers for her safety.
When does she leave?
Friday. Yeah, Friday. Tomorrow. No, day after tomorrow.
Vicky says Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah, it could be Saturday.
Saturday. 13th. Yeah, anyway. 13th, anyway,
yeah.
Coming up. But she definitely needs our prayers going over there into that war zone.
Yes.
And continue to pray for my kids for reconciliation and my daughters and granddaughters as they leave tomorrow to come back from Florida from their vacation.
All right. Bobby's kids. Reconciliation. And then Bobby's family. Yeah. Well, they're your family, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Bobby's family.
Some of the time.
Yeah, when they're behaving.
Traveling back from Florida. Yeah. From Florida. Hallelujah. All right, man.
All right, let's pray for our government.
Okay.
Let's pray for all leaders from the family up, sir.
All right.
Within the schools, within the universities and government, and get turned over to the Lord.
All right. Amen, amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we're thankful that we can lift these praises up to you this evening, Lord. And we just praise you, first of all, for our salvation. We thank you for saving us and for loving us and for dying on that cross for us and shedding your blood to cover our sin penalty and to make a way for us to the Father. And Lord, we're just thankful for the eternal life that you provide, glorified body that we will one day possess, the sinless nature that will be ours in heaven. Lord, we just rejoice and look forward to spending all eternity with you. Lord, in the meantime, we pray that you help us as we go through this life that you've given to us, given us another day, provided it to us. And Lord, we pray you continue to give us the strength, give us the will, give us the want to, Lord, to serve you and to just keep on keeping on. Lord, we lift these praises up to you this evening. We praise you for Loopy's kids, Lord, and the transitions in their life. Loopy's son getting this new job and new career. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. We pray that this will be a great fit, be a good career for many, many years ahead. And then, Lord, for Loopy's daughter having a good, safe move and now living with her as well. We just pray for that transition and all of that. Lord, thank you that that went off without any kind of issue or problem. So we just praise you for that. And then, Lord, we lifting up the rain tonight, and we thank you for that rain. And Lord, we pray just continue. And Lord, we pray that tomorrow would be another big day of rain, and Lord, maybe even the next day. Just open your showers of blessing upon us. We are praising you, Lord, for a new school year at our Christian school, and we're praying for all the schools around here, Lord, as some of them have already started back. Tom Ball Magnolia will be starting back next week as well. And Lord, we just pray for safety for these kids as they all go back. We pray for these educators. Pray for the Christian educators especially. Lord, give them a good, bold witness in how they can represent Christ in the classroom and sow seeds of the gospel, Lord, with their actions and attitudes. And so, Lord, we just pray that you undergird them. And Lord, we just pray for a good first week, first day of school, just safe, safe, safe. We pray for these kids that live too close for a bus, but parents can't drive them there in a car. We just pray you watch over them and keep them safe as they cross those streets and go through the crosswalks and all of those things. Help everyone pay extra special attention starting next week around here for sure. Lord, we lift up Glenn to you tonight as he seeks housing and trying to find a house. And Lord, a shortage of homes and exorbitant prices around. So Lord, we just pray you give Glenn the wisdom and discernment in that. We pray for Kenzie and her pain management. Lord, we pray that that might bring some relief. And Lord, just help her with some coping skills and perhaps medications to bring that pain under control. We lift up Kenzie's daughter, Molly. We pray for this curvature of the spine that she's dealing with. And Lord, we pray that they might bring that back into alignment somehow, some way. We lift up Karen Tate to you, Lord, and her continued back issues and problems. We pray for her. And Lord, we pray that you might bring relief and bring a straightening to her back as well. We lift up Robert to you tonight, Lord, as he prepares for shoulder surgery on September the 6th. And we pray for his mouth and the dental work that he's going to be receiving, Lord, from this accident at work. Just pray you work out all of those details. We lift up Ron's friend to you tonight, Lord, having issues with her son. We pray that this prodigal would come back home, that, Lord, he would see the truth he would come back to the truth. He would repent. And so, Lord, we're lifting that situation up to you tonight. We lift up Hannah to you. And this new job at HEB, Lord, we pray this would be the fit. This would be the career that she could spend many, many years at, Lord. So we lift that up to you. We pray for Terry as she gets ready to transition on this mission trip with Samaritan's Purse to Ukraine. We're praying for safety in travel. We're praying for safety once they get there. And, Lord, we pray that you might use that organization, Samaritan's Purse, to bring healing and salvation and medical help and all the things that they do. Lord, we pray that you would bless their time and their efforts, and they would certainly, in Ukraine, have an indelible impact for the kingdom as they go over there here in a few days. Lord, we pray for Bobby's kids, and we continue to pray for their reconciliation with one another. Pray for peace in the family. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for all of those things. And then Bobby's grandkids, we're praying for their safety as they travel back from Florida. Watch over them, Lord. Make their path straight and just get them back here for the beginning of school. And then, Lord, we pray for the leaders of this country from the homes up. We pray for the men, and, Lord, we pray for the different leaders in the schools and leaders in government. And, Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for his cabinet. We pray for the Congress, the House, the Senate. We lift up the Supreme Court, Lord. We pray for the different state legislatures, Lord. We pray that the Christians in each of these entities and organizations, God, that they would stand firm and they would be a witness and they would be bold and they would love people, Lord, and they would help people where people need help. So, God, just use the church. Use us as Christian leaders, Christian men, Christian women that lead. And, Lord, we just pray that you bring glory and honor to yourself. And all that we attempt to do, Lord, may we seek to do it for you. May we seek to be led by you. May we seek to be in your word and find our marching orders for the day. So, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said? All right, well, take a copy of God's word. Would you believe we're still in the book of Revelation? Had I not been out, we'd probably be done with it. But, man, I want to tell you, it's been a while since I've been here on Wednesday night. Been a while. So, you have a copy of God's Word. Take it and turn to Revelation 22, beginning in verse 6. We'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 6. And we'll take this through about verse 12 here. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 6. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? Amen. All right, the Word of God reads this. And he said to me, now this is the angel speaking here, right? And he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Verse 7, we have another transition. This is God now speaking. And behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And then again in verse 8, we have another transition to another speaker. John is speaking. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Verse 9, but he said to me, angel speaking again, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. Amen. That's our reading for tonight. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, back on Wednesday, July the 13th, when we last looked at this passage, we compared the introduction, if you'll remember, I know it's been a while, we compared the introduction of Revelation with the ending or the conclusion of the apocalypse, Revelation. We talked about how the introduction communicated that Jesus is coming back for his second Advent. Amen? Everybody on board with that? Amen. Consequently, the ending of Revelation, the great apocalypse, speaks to how we as believers should respond to Jesus' second advent. Now, in dealing with these verses, verses 6 through 12, we talked about how this is John's last impassioned plea to his audience, that they need to respond appropriately. And then finally, we spent the remainder of our time that Wednesday evening on July 13th, looking at the numerous New Testament verses that communicated one of the most important drivers for all of us responding appropriately to Jesus' second coming. Now, you probably do not remember the theme of all those verses that we covered Wednesday evening on July 13th, so I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to tell you. Amen? Hallelujah. Boy, give us one. Give us an easy one. The theme of those verses, and there were a bunch of them, the theme of those verses are the imminent return of Jesus. His return is imminent. Now let's say that together. Imminent. One more time. Imminent. Now, back to that most important phrase then. The threefold repetition of the phrase in this immediate passage is I'm coming quickly, right? Verse 7, it says, I'm coming quickly. Verse 12, I'm coming quickly. We jump down to verse 20 in chapter 22. And what does it say? He who testifies to these things, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, right? Powerful for I'm coming quickly. The Greek adverb, taku, which is quickly, we get our English word quickly from that, does not refer to the speed at which Christ will travel from heaven to earth when he returns. Instead, this Greek adverb, taku, has the connotation of soon or before long. The point is that the judge, first time he was a Savior, second time he's coming as a judge, the judge is standing right at the door. Now, my middle daughter's got to go deal with the judge. You say, Pastor, what did she do? Well, she was going to Trinity Pines, I think, up on Lake Livingston. This was some kind of rooted retreat for Christian freshmen, wanting to meet other Christian freshmen that are going to be freshmen at Sam Houston University. And so she was going up to this rooted retreat. She had a little map open on her phone. Her car doesn't have that GPS, but she got it on her phone, and so she got a little thing attached to her windshield so she can look at her phone and look out the car and be all safe and everything. She said, Dad, I was following this car in front of me, man. I was just staying with traffic. She goes, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this police officer, he pulled behind me, and he stayed behind me for a while, and then he pulled in front of me, and he was on one of the motorcycles, Dad, and he started pointing for me to get off. And so I got off. And she said, Dad, he came, and he wanted my license and my insurance, and I gave it to him, and I was crying and blubbering like a little baby. And Dad, he wouldn't even look at me. He wouldn't even look at me. I said I was sorry and I didn't want a ticket, and he didn't say anything. He just kept doing his deal. And so he gave her a ticket. And she got it and she brought it home, and I was proud of her. She didn't try to hide it. She showed it to me and everything. And I said, oh my. Oh my. I go, that's gonna be an expensive ticket. She goes, why is that? I go, sis, you got pulled over in a construction zone. Whoo! So I looked up Huntsville City. What is the fee for that? That's $179. Times two. Times two. And so her mother told her today, she said, you better call. You better get this taken care of. You're gonna have to spend your money. And if this goes on your record, remember what your dad told you. You've already had a wreck. That was your fault. Insurance paid out. You're going to have a ticket on you if you don't get this taken off. Guess what you're going to have to do? Be on your own insurance. It's going to be expensive. So she called, right? And the lady said, If you pay, it goes on your record. She said, I don't want it on my record. She said, well, you're going to have to set up a time and come talk to the judge. Yeah. Amen. All of that to get there. The judge, right? And she asked the lady she was talking to, she said, the judge is really not supposed to give adjudication and allow defensive driving for speeding violations in construction zones, but you can come talk to him, right? And maybe he'll make an exception. So you know what I told her? I said, go cry, sister. Go cry. Go cry, beg, and plead. Amen? The point is that the judge is standing right at the door. Per James chapter 5, 9, he's poised to return any moment. Just like she's going to have an appointment with the judge, she's going to call and set one up. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who don't believe in Christ. They're going to have an appointment one day that they wish they could avoid, right? That they wish they could avoid, right? The angel said to John, what did he say? He said, these words are faithful and true. Verse 6, faithful and true. The angel's words provide a heavenly testimony to the validity of all that John had heard and seen throughout the apocalypse. Now, the angel repeats the same affirmation given earlier to John by God himself in verses 21, verse 5. The phrase faithful and true also appears twice in Revelation as a title for the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 3, verse 14 and 19, 11. Faithful and true, it's a big deal in the book, right? The words of the apocalypse are faithful and true as the one who revealed them to John. The angel's words reinforce an important truth. Everything John has seen in Revelation will what, church? It will come to pass. What the inspired apostle has written under the inspiration of the person of the Holy Spirit is not some kind of mystical religious story. The apocalypse is not a record of his bizarre dreams or the result of an overactive imagination. The apocalypse is not an allegory from which readers can extract hidden meanings of their own invention. No, friend. No, no, no. Rather, the apocalypse is an accurate description of events and persons yet to come. Verses 18 and 19 of this chapter give a sobering warning against tampering with the faithful and true words of the revelation. Now, we see a transition as we read the passage tonight. We talked about who was speaking here and who's speaking there. John affirmed the angel's emphatic testimony. He affirmed it to the truthfulness of what he had seen and heard, riding the balance of verse 6b, second half of verse 6b, his angel to show to his bond servants the things which must soon take place. Verse 6 is nothing short of a claim by John for the full and complete inspiration of Revelation. The prophecies recorded by those early biblical prophets were literally fulfilled, and those in Revelation will also be fulfilled. Amen? Now, the exactness, detail, and precision with which earlier prophecies already fulfilled came to pass, that forms the pattern for us. That forms the pattern for those yet to be fulfilled. God's prophetic word is nothing less than perfect. His word is perfect. We look back in Old Testament scripture, and we see that how God predicted Israel would go into captivity. And the nation did, per Leviticus 26, 33 through 39. We see how God predicted the destruction of Babylon, per Isaiah 13, 1 through chapter 14, verse 27. And He predicted the destruction again in Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. And He predicted the destruction of the city of Tyre in Isaiah 23, verses 1 through following. And you know what? You know what, church? All those cities were destroyed, just as he said. He predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, per Micah 5, verse 2, to a virgin, per Isaiah 7, 14, and be killed by sinners, per Isaiah 53, 7 through 10. And he was. He was. Thus, when God predicts future events, such as the rapture of the church, the rise of the Antichrist, when he predicts the seal and the trumpet and the bowl judgments, the battle of Armageddon, or what we call Armageddon, the return of his Son, Jesus Christ, and his thousand-year earthly kingdom, those events will just as certainly come to pass. God will do exactly what he says he will do. As he himself declares in Isaiah 46, 9 through 11, the Word of God reads, "Remember the former things long past. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it." Amen? Now, back to where we began. The reality of our Lord's imminent return calls for responses on the part of every believer. We begin with the first response tonight. It is a heart that obeys. A heart that exhibits obedience. And behold, I'm coming quickly. Verse 7. Blessed is he who heeds the words. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, we talked about a change of speakers. Verse 7. We're talking about John. No, we're talking about the Lord. We're talking about the Lord here, verse 7, right? Notice the word "and" at the beginning of 7. That marks that change of speakers that we went through when we read these verses. The speaker is what? No longer the angel. And then after verse 7, we're going to see John speak, right? The speaker no longer the angel in verse 7 who speaks in verse 6. But none other, said God, it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is coming quickly. Amen? Jesus pronounces the sixth of the seven Beatitudes in verse 7. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, verse 14, if you want to look at that verse, that's going to be the seventh Beatitude in the book of Revelation. And the previous Beatitudes are chapter 1, verse 3, 14, 13, 16, 15, 19, 9, 20 verse 6, and then these two that we find here in the last chapter. Okay? Three other times, the words of this book are called prophecy. We see that three other times in verses 10, in verses 18, in verses 19 of this chapter. Though prophecy, by definition, can refer to what? Well, it can refer to any message about the past. It can refer to any message about the present. It can refer to any message about the future. But the Apocalypse is a book largely consisting of future predictions and promises. All right? Now, you see the word, hopefully you have a word similar to mine, heeds, right? Heeds, H-E-E-D-S, heeds. That translates a participle form of the verb tereo, which means to keep. It means to hold fast. It means to guard it, right? We're going to heed the words of the Revelation. We're going to heed the words of the Apocalypse. We're not going to hide them. We're going to guard them. We're going to protect them, but we're going to make sure the words get out there. Amen? Now, the same term is used in 14:12 to describe the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God in their faith in Jesus. And you may be wondering to yourself, What's the point with this, Pastor? Well, just as I mentioned, believers are called to guard, to protect the book of Revelation, right? The book must be defended against detractors. Detractors who deny its relevance. Against critics who deny its authenticity and authority, as well as against confused interpreters who obscure its meaning, right? In fact, all of Scripture is to be guarded. Would you agree? All of it? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14, it says, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard," it says, "guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." And what is the treasure entrusted to us? That word. Amen? You get it? Now, believers are called not only to guard Scripture, but also to obey it. You can read about that all through the New Testament. An example would be John 14, 21 through 23, if you want to look that up for future study. The need to obey the commands of Scripture was a foundational theme in John's first epistle. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, if you want to look that up for further study. Those who live as if Jesus could come at any moment will live in obedience to Scripture. They'll live in obedience to it. Not to earn their salvation, but because they are saved, they will live in obedience to it. Now, all of this kind of begs the question, when we think about the book of Revelation, doesn't it? What words in Revelation are believers called to heed? We know we've got to guard and protect it, all of it. But what words in Revelation are believers called to obey? I mean, what are the commands in the book of Revelation? What are the imperatives in the book of Revelation? Before this command to heed it, there is no specific commands addressed to Christians. In the portion of the apocalypse covering future events, just look back through the chapters 4 through 22, there's nothing in there. If you look prior to chapter 4, we see some things addressed to the seven churches, chapters 2 through 3. So what does it mean then to heed the book of Revelation in obedience? Because we're talking about the heart that obeys based on the book of Revelation. Based on how it ends, John is calling for a response from us, and the first part of the response is a heart that obeys. So what does it mean to obey, to heed the book of Revelation? Well, it's a general command. Our obedience is expressed by longing for Christ's return. The command is expressed. The command is satisfied by us yearning for eternal fellowship with Him. And I tell you, I don't know how much worse things can get to push people to yearn for a brighter day across that river, a heavenly abode with Him. See, we're being called upon as believers to desire heaven. Desire heaven. Oftentimes, we get so caught up with the world that we're living in that we desire the things in the world. You're just passing through here. Your main desire should be to desire heaven, to see this heavenly Savior with your glorified eyes. That should be your main desire. To desire holiness. We talk about heeding the book of Revelation. To desire holiness. To desire to see Christ vindicated in triumph over His enemies. Wasn't Jesus done wrong on the cross? I mean, ultimately, wasn't He done wrong? Now, praise the Lord, He was done wrong for me and you. But when you think about it, how He was treated, what they did to Him. First Advent, He came to save His own people, and His own people would not have Him. Right? I mean, don't you look forward to the day when He's vindicated? And he comes not in lowliness and humility, riding on the foal of a donkey, but he comes on a great stallion. Amen? Yeah, he comes that way as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That should be something that we desire to see. When we get to see that, Christ vindicated and triumph over his enemies. To desire to see the end of the curse, friend. Won't it be great one day when sin is no more? And death is no more. And the desire to desire the glories of Christ, his earthly kingdom, and the new heaven and the new earth. So what's the first response? The heart of obedience. And how does it obey? Well, preacher, it heeds the word. And what are we talking about when we say heed? Well, it's a twofold meaning. It means that we're going to protect and guard, but it also means we're going to desire, right? Desire. So think about that in your prayer time. Think about that when your times of reflection, when you've been in the Word and you're going to pray to the Lord, express some desire to see Him. You say, well, preacher, if I desire Him too much, He might just take me home right here, right now. Well, friend, that'll be okay, won't it? That'll be okay. The Lord's got your days numbered anyway, right? He's got them numbered. He's got the hairs on your little head all counted out. Got all your little freckles identified. He knows who you are. He knows where you're at, right? Desire His return. Desire that holiness. Desire that new heavenly sight we're going to have one day. Amen, church? We'll leave it there. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, again for the rain. And Lord, we desire your coming. We desire your second coming. We desire the rapture of the church. We desire to see you in all your glory and fullness and beauty and power one day, Lord. We desire it. We know you're coming back. Your word tells us you're coming back, Lord. So we look forward to it. We hold on to it. And we revel and rejoice in it. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Give us safety as we depart this place tonight, Lord. The roads are wet, and we praise you and thank you for that. No complaints from us. We're thankful for a wet road to drive on, Lord, but we just ask for safety on the way home. Give us safety. Be with those, Lord, that are going to have to be out in this tonight. Be with our first responders as they answer those calls for the wrecks and different things that are going to happen during the night in this rain and wet streets. Watch over them. Lord, give us a good rest of the week. And Lord, I pray you just help us assemble back here Sunday morning to hear another bit about your word, grow a little bit closer with you, get a little bit more Jesus in us about who you are. So Lord, we look forward to worshiping with the saints on Sunday. We pray that you might draw them out in force. So God, thank you for loving us again. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that your promises are true. And your word comes to fruition. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Good night, folks online. We'll see you Sunday morning.